Hi, hello. Welcome to the Dirty Rabbit Hole podcast. I'm Michael Foreman, author. Yes, hi again. It's Michael Foreman, author, calling to you all the way from the Dirty Rabbit Hole podcast in Western Australia. I'm really glad to have you here on the podcast today. Thank you for looking us up. I'm an author of some quite unique dark adult fiction, fiction that speaks of sexless marriages. And the podcast here is to support the book, as well as support people like yourself who are interested in finding more information about what causes a sexless marriage, what you can do to fix a sexless marriage, and just generally make people feel as though they're not alone. I had a sexless marriage of 10 years. We eventually got divorced, and there's a happy ever after story in play right now with a new relationship. But of course, everybody's situation is different, and I can't tell from my side of the microphone what you're doing in your life. So every time I do a podcast episode, I'm always aware that folks come to this topic with various reasons and different backgrounds. And we all have different religious backgrounds, different upbringings with our families, different expectations from the communities around us, and we've got to kind of juggle and fit all of these things into some kind of perfect, loving narrative that allows us to have a marriage that contains intimacy. And when it doesn't happen, all of that starts to fall apart. Our working lives, our relationships with our friends and our family, and even the relationship we have with ourselves starts to get fractured. And we just can't find any solution to the problem because the person who's causing the problem we can't go to. I won't go too much into that at the moment, but of course today's podcast is about a new topic. This is one Irish lady's solution to fixing the sexless marriage problem that she had or was having in her own marriage. And it's pretty radical, forcing yourself to have sex for 30 days with your spouse, whether you want to have sex with them or not. That's what her challenge was. So I printed it out because it's quite detailed, but yes, she said that she committed to having 30 days of lovemaking with her husband. And she uses the analogy of what it's like going to the gym. She doesn't always want to go to the gym. But when she has gone to the gym and forced herself to go through the processes of exercise, she feels much better for it. And she says that in her preliminary text. In general, I like going to the gym. But then there are times when it's just about the last thing on my mind. I'm barely keeping on top of work, parenting, and making 7 p.m. boxer size is often far too ambitious. I skip a couple of sessions because I'm feeling fat, I'm hungover, or just not in the mood, and suddenly my routine's gone out the window. Yet the funny thing is, no matter how reluctant I am to hit the gym after a drought period, I am always, without exception, glad I went. "You will never regret a workout" is an often quoted motivational message plastered on changing room walls. And as I've come to realize after challenging myself to have sex every single day for a month, you never regret jumping into bed with your husband either. Our daughter, a firstborn, arrived a little under 2 years ago. 6 weeks to the day after the labor, and amid a flurry of night feeds and disjointed sleep, we began having sex again. It was a pattern that continued fairly uninterrupted for the first year or so of our daughter's life. But more recently, things have begun to wane. We've been together since our late teens and have always had plenty of time for sex. So I certainly never imagined being unable to recall the last time I was naked with my husband. But there were weeks when the demands of an energetic toddler drained us, both to exhaustion. We prioritized too readily the potential for an extra 30 minutes of sleep over all else. Last summer, a spreadsheet compiled by one frustrated spouse went viral, hitting headlines all around the world. The document was structured around three separate headings: date, sex, and excuse. Emailed to his wife shortly after she left for a 10-day business trip, it alleged that she repeatedly rejected his advances with a series of half-hearted excuses, including, I might be getting sick, I'm exhausted, or I'm watching a show. She was most particularly at that time watching Friends reruns. In total, the document showed that the couple had sex just 3 times a month. The ensuing debate largely centered on whether you sided with him or her, but it also raised some interesting questions about sex and marriage. How much and how often can be considered normal? One recent survey found that most Irish people between the ages of 25 and 34 have sex 3 or 4 times a week. But could I be even more ambitious than that? Could I set the ultimate sex challenge? Sex every day for a full month to dust off those relationship cobwebs. Could I do it? Carolyn Evans lives in South Carolina with her husband and 2 children and is the author of 40 Beads, the simple, sexy secret for transforming your marriage. She explains that 5 years ago, she came up with an idea. For his 40th birthday, I gave my husband the gift of 40 straight days of sex on a total whim, she said, but the following morning, I panicked. So Carolyn tweaked her original offer, instead gifting 40 beads, each one for a roll in the hay. She now says it was a decision that ultimately saved her marriage. I always tell women sex can take less time than unloading the dishwasher. So why not just get into it and enjoy all the benefits your relationship gains from making that physical connection? The thought of daily sex for 30 days straight is admittedly overwhelming from the outset, but blinded by optimism, I signed up enthusiastically anyway. And this is what happened on week 1. My husband and I begin midweek, and I have sex in the evening before going to sleep. Ordinarily, we would have probably whittled away 20 minutes or so on our phones before drifting off. In hindsight, hardly something that should be prioritized. By the end of the week, I'm pleasantly surprised at how, well, easy it's been to slot into some alone time. Indeed, on day 7, I count a total of 10 occasions when we had intercourse. It makes me reflect on how marriage changes intimacy. For better or for worse, richer or poorer, sickness or in health, and that includes the bedroom too. Children can absorb your time and energy in almost every possible way. Accidental celibacy can emerge amid nappies, restless nights, and endless colic. Even after just a week of my 30-day challenge, I remember why couples also need to put their relationship first every once in a while. It's not being selfish. If anything, it's being sensible. Because whatever way you look at it, attempting to indefinitely prop up a sexless marriage is ultimately losing a battle. Week 2. By day 8, I feel that having sex is becoming less of a conscious decision, and we're just doing it. I'm impressed at how quickly we get into it. Having sex every day proves absolutely that the best possible way to boost your libido is to get jiggy with it as often as possible. Having very little sex, in contrast, has the opposite effect. Interestingly, I feel better about my body too. All the attention that's been showered upon it makes me appreciate my imperfections that little bit more. Admittedly, there are times, just a handful, mind you, when I would probably be more drawn to an extra 10 minutes in bed, or an extra 10 minutes of homeland, or an extra 10 minutes to check my email, but I'd do it anyway. Approach. Needed to navigate the 30-day challenge keeps me focused. You need proof? Parenting websites are full of discussions about marriage and sex once babies arrive. There are few women who sheepishly hold up their hands and admit, it's been a while. My poor husband, some of them exclaim. I feel so sorry for him, but I'm just too tired. To that I say, forget about the poor husband. What about poor you? Women should feel all the normal things you expect a healthy human being to experience in a relationship: desire, lust, passion, and longing. If these things are absent from your relationship, it's probably time to take a cold, hard look at the reasons why. Week 3. Sex doesn't have to take all day. It doesn't have to be this grand, Hollywood-worthy marathon session. By week 3, we're mastering the art of morning sex. Bringing the alarm forward by 10 minutes can work wonders, and there are a few better ways to kickstart the day. Aside from the physical pleasure that comes with our regular intimacy, my husband and I truly feel incredibly connected. I never felt alienated from him, but having the same amount of sex that we had in our early 20s has given us renewed waves of love and affection for one another. At times, we manage sex more than once in 24 hours, 3 and 4 times occasionally. Having regular sex has also taken the pressure off having to orgasm every time. Sometimes, I just enjoy the act itself without having to achieve a mind-blowing climax. Though, thankfully, there are some of those too. If you only have sex a few times a month, understandably, you're going to want to get an orgasm from each of those encounters. But by upping the ante, you're more able and willing to go with the flow, concentrating on alternative sensations and exploring new pleasures. Week 4. As we near the end of the month, an old Joan Rivers joke that always makes me smile comes to mind. "For New Year's," she said, "I resolved to make love 365 times this year." She describes her husband Edgar's comeback as, "Great, put me down for 12. Could I extend my sex challenge out to a full year? In a word, no. I now need to adapt my 30-day achievement into real life. And I reckon, for me, that is going to mean sex 4 or 5 times a week. Though, if I feel like we're slipping back into old habits, then I'd have no hesitation embarking on a similar program. In fact, I see this becoming something of an annual tradition. Forget trying to find fulfillment in the things that cost money. The best way to improve the quality of your day-to-day life is making sure that you're regularly having sex with the man or the woman that you married. "Sex is what brings us together," says Carolyn. "It's also the number 2 problem, behind money, that drives us apart. The physical connection reinforces the emotional connection. Without it, you're just friends." She adds, "The problem in our too-busy-to-be-bothered culture is that we're finding less and less time to figure out what the when around sex in our marriages, and then we wonder why the marriage is falling apart. Increased libido, feeling more in love, more connected, feeling happier in the body and mind, my marriage wasn't falling apart, but it's been overhauled by the simple act of sex, regular sex, sex that's been prioritized rather than shunned. And it can do the same for you." So what do you think about that? 30 days of sex. That's a radical change, isn't it? Instead of fighting against it, you push through it. Just like she said, if you're going to the gym and you don't always like going to the gym, you get through it, you can do it, and you feel better for it. And then, as she's just proved, over 4 weeks, things in their relationship, in their marriage, improved tenfold. And she's going to factor it into her yearly existence with her husband as well. Having been in this situation and had many discussions with my ex-wife about sex and how bad the sex was, it's probably unlikely that all of us listening today are going to be able to implement this suggestion into our marriages. I don't think it's going to happen. I don't think that's going to happen for a lot of us. But it's a nice idea, isn't it? But you might like to incorporate something of this model that we've just heard today into your marriage. Maybe factor in 3 sexual sessions per week. I think I have mentioned it here on the podcast once before, but I had a friend who had problems in their marriage as well, not as bad as the one that we had, But they said to us that when they wanted to communicate their needs to each other, that is, one was interested in sex, they'd have these two dolls on a shelf. One was his doll and one was her doll. And if he was interested in sex, he would lie the doll down. And that way, when she got home from work, she could see that he was interested and available. And similarly, if she was interested, she could lie hers down. And if both of them were lying down, then, you know, happy days. And it seemed to work for them. It was just a way of communicating. Because they claimed that they didn't know what was going on in each other's minds. So the dolls were their representations of their thoughts. And it worked. I mean, I tried to incorporate something like that in my marriage. Just by buying the dolls and saying this represents our sexuality would have offended my wife. You know, I'm not putting that on the shelf because of what it represents. But you might like to incorporate it into yours. Gee, it would be really good if listeners would write back to me and say to me they incorporated something like this into their daily lifestyles and it worked. Suddenly the barriers were down. The frustration, the tension, the aggression, and all the things that are associated with a sexist marriage, they all came down, and now you're talking like civil people to each other. I'd love to hear from you if you end up incorporating that into your life and find a benefit. Now, how can you talk to me? You can come to my website at michaelformanwriting.com. That's michaelformanwriting.com. There's a page there where you can write me and I will respond. If you'd like to send me an audio file through that method, that's okay too. There's an email address attached to it. Or if you are listening through Spotify, where this podcast goes to, I believe Spotify, no, anchor.fm. I'll get this one right. Anchor.fm. You can send an audio file directly back upstream and it comes to me on my app. Very simple, very easy. I think it's about a minute long. It allows you to do it. But you are probably picking this podcast up from somewhere else, maybe Apple Podcasts or FM, what is it, Podcast FM, or any of the millions of podcast hosts that are out there. It actually comes from anchor.fm. That's its origin point. I upload to there and then it's rebroadcast out to all the various apps around the globe. I already said my home site, so I don't need to go there. If you're interested in forums, hooking up with people who are in a similar situation to you, not necessarily hooking up on an intimate level, but if you just want to share stories and find out what people are saying, what terms are related to this kind of field, you can go to iliasm.org. That is, I live in a sexless marriage.org. Just the first letter of each of those words. Or you can go to sexlessmarriageyuku.com. sexlessmarriage.yuku.com. That's yuku.com. And I'm a member of each of those forums, and occasionally I contribute bits and pieces of information, my personal experiences, and hopefully offer some sage advice. Failing that, you've got the podcast here at The Dirty Rabbit Hole. Now, you're probably wondering why I used the title The Dirty Rabbit Hole when I started this podcast so many years ago, and here's a little bit of information for you. If you have a sexless marriage, you are in a very bad place. If it's been a long-term sexless marriage, you are probably in a very dark place, and I call that a rabbit hole. And you all know what that means. But it's also a dirty place, because you're on your own and you have to make decisions. Sometimes make really grubby decisions all by yourself to get yourself out of the hole or at least see some light. That's why I call it the Dirty Rabbit Hole. And at the end of each of the podcast episodes I record, I throw in the tagline, just remember it can always rain on your parade. Because I know that when we started these marriages, we never thought it would rain on our parade, that it would be happy ever after. So when I finish off a podcast and I say those words, I mean them. It can always rain on your parade. It's raining on our parade right now. It's the God honest truth on how we feel about the sexless life that we are in. We didn't sign up for it, but we got it anyway. We're just trying to do the very best we can in a very bad situation. And if you believe in monogamy, then it's up to your partner to play the game. And if they don't play the game, Nobody plays the game. We got complacent. We got lazy. Maybe we got fat. Maybe we just took each other for granted. We have to get out of that rut to get back on track and back to loving each other in the bedroom, in the physical sense. Because if you do not feel happy about your life right now because of it, then that matters. My wife and I, we went to counseling for a great number of years. Nothing really changed, but we made the attempt anyway. And I always say to people on the podcast, yeah, do counseling. Go to therapy. Talk to somebody who may be able to break down some of those barriers. Can't do it alone. It's very difficult to do it alone. It doesn't mean it's going to fix it. It didn't fix it for us. And I literally could not talk to my spouse about sex. And I'm the other side of it. I talk and talk and talk. So much so that I've got a podcast where I talk about it all the time. I've got a website where I talk about it all the time. And I wrote a book called Seethings, where I talk about sex and a sexless marriage. How do you break through those barriers? And what is daily life like moving through that kind of mental space? I end up talking about it nearly every day in some way, shape or form, whether I'm writing it in text or I'm doing it as an audio file. So now I've talked about the book, Seethings, S-E-E-T-H-I-N-G-S. Go and download yourself a copy of it right now. It's free, available on smashwords.com, smashwords.com. It's a pseudo-autobiographical story, so that means that there's something of me in there and the relationship that I had. And pseudo means it's got some other stuff as well to make it entertaining. It's free, available from smashwords.com. You can have a look over there right now. You can even be downloading it and reading the first page of it before I end this podcast, which I'm about to do. I hope wherever you are in the world, you're having a really great day and things will improve. But just remember, it can always rain on your parade. I'll see you later.